You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 425, recorded March 2022, posted November 2023. Sharp and pointy and demanding.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, your dungeon master. He, him. We are playing Candlekeep Mysteries, Shemsheim's Bedtime Rhyme, where our players are afflicted with a horrible curse. The source of that curse, probably a book, but they don't know that for sure yet. The name of that curse seems to be Shemsheim's Bedtime Rhyme, as they are all compelled to sing and hum and even maybe a little bit of light soft shoe, this horrible, haunting bedtime rhyme. But now things have escalated. That's right. Shemsheim has leached himself into the brains of some of our characters and has turned them against the party. And I have had them roll initiative, for they are now fighting amongst themselves. That's right. I don't need to manage any monsters today. I'm just watching the players murder themselves. We have cut out the middleman to bring the savings to you. Finally, the players are just going to kill themselves.
The budget cuts are really getting to us here.
Allow me to introduce our players in initiative order. They will introduce their characters, and then we will get into it. First up, Kathy Campbell.
Hello, my pronouns are she, her, and I am playing Hermione, a centaur fighter who is very angry that the rest of my party is not letting me dance. Mm.
Next up, it's Aline Sims.
Hello, I play Lapis the Tabaxi Cleric, whose pronouns, as well as mine, are she, her.
Also joining us, Rosemary Orchard.
Hello, I'm Rosemary Orchard, she, her, and I am playing Tulipa Flaws, a fairy who is not sure about fighting. Also she, her.
And also here, it's Tiff Arment. Hi, Tiff.
Hey, playing Polly Quartz, the rock gnome druid, who is slightly sorry for traumatizing a child.
Only slightly.
Only slightly.
And last but not least, your friend and mine, Erica Ensign.
Hello. Yes, I am playing Fritat Ha, a Goliath barbarian. Our pronouns are she, her.
All right.
I'm real slow. Real slow this time.
Mm, yeah. All right. Hermione, you are at the top of the order. Shemsheim is controlling you. You have the horrible experience of basically being a puppet. As you can see what Shemsheim is doing. So Shemsheim is, in control of you, but seems to be aware of kind of what your physical capabilities are. And I think Shemsheim is going to have you attack your friends. So just to kind of set the stage here, it looks like all of you are in or in the vicinity of the main reading room here in Firefly Cellar. Frittata is just inside the door to the bindery. Little Antony and Polly Quartz have just come up the stairs from the sleeping quarters. Lapis kind of in the middle. Tulipa Floss over there, perched on top of a bookcase. The librarians have kind of withdrawn from this for the sake of fight management. Hermione, you were searching for Shemsheim's Bedtime Rhyme among the books when you realized that your actions were no longer your own. I'm going to suggest that you might just kind of jump over some books and attack Lapis.
That sounds like a good plan. I am going to run straight towards Lapis and attack them.
Are you standing on top of the bookshelf then?
Or like jumping over?
Yeah.
How tall are the bookshelves?
They're pretty tall.
And how tall is the ceiling?
The ceiling is pretty high up because it's like a nice vaulted ceiling. There's even at place there's like a nice, there's a kind of an area that opens up to the area above where there's a balcony. Hermione, you might need to run around the bookcases because I'm going to say the bookcases are
six or 7 feet tall. Don't get very far.
All right. You gallop around the corner. Do you want to keep galloping into the main area as you're, because you can use a...
it's like my bonus action.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think you have enough actions.
Yeah. Okay, and actually, let's see. I was here.
Or do you have enough speed to get to Tulipa Floss? I don't know who's closer to you.
I'm pretty high up. So that's going to make me a bad target.
I guess Hermione is pretty a centaur. I think you can get to Tulipa. You can get each square is 5. So you get, if you have 40, you can 25. Go 8 squares. Yeah, you can totally get over there.
Okay.
So, Tulipa, you were, I think, basically keeping an eye on Gilby, who is running around in circles. Suddenly, Gilby and all the librarians are kind of just standing still in kind of a weird at attention thing when a very determined looking centaur rounds the corner at full speed and comes charging at you. Hermione, do you want to roll some attacks?
Yes, I would, in fact. Several. 13. Plus 6 is 19.
Ow.
I'm guessing that hits.
I mean, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry for all of this.
This is not my fault. I'm not involved.
But I'm just doing what Shemshaim says.
Yeah. I mean, how I'm you not being on a book.
Yeah, I know. Gonna, like, keep me safe from, like, range, generally. But hey.
Yeah. So 5 points of damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to use my whip. 8 plus 6. Wait, no. It's just because it's my second weapon, it's not the modifier, right? So it's just
I think so.
What yeah. I roll. Okay. So 8, is that not? That's not
going to
armor class. Okay. However, because I moved. Oh, wait. I didn't move straight. So never mind. I'm done.
Okay. Lapis, you are just a little ways across the reading room. I think you saw out of the corner of your eye Hermione like charge between the stacks and I don't know, probably the sound of books and bookcases kind of going flying as Hermione appeared to attack Tulipa Floss, who was just hanging out on top of a bookcase.
Huh.
Huh, indeed.
All right. So I feel like my companion has attacked my other companion.
It's true. Who do you like more?
I mean, I just like to put it out there. The fairies are very pretty and delicate.
Technically, one of them is being controlled by an evil force of evil, but we, you know.
I'll move to where I can see Hermione and Tulipa.
And I would say you specifically were aware that Hermione attacked Tulipa.
Okay.
The source of the aggression was extremely evident.
Right. Real quick, as Hermione, does she know that she's being like controlled, or is she fully in the zone of these are the bad guys, or is it kind of like the little voice inside my head going, no, those are your friends, and the bigger voice of Shemshaim? Like what level
you are powerless to do anything beyond that Shemshaim does not will.
Okay, so I can't yell. I'm being controlled. Okay.
I think that's probably what you are. Your internal dialogue, an internal monologue, but it is not an. It's only internal. It is not external.
Okay.
So, okay. You do not want to be doing this, but you are doing it.
Okay.
So yes. So sorry, Lapis. You head over between the shelves where Hermione and Tulipa are fighting, and.
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know if Hermione saw Tulipa do something. I don't know if she saw, like, a rogue evil firefly try to attack Tulipa.
Seems pretty extreme.
There was a bug on her.
But
you're giving Hermione the benefit of the doubt until she murders someone in front of you.
Well,
appreciated. Yep.
Like, I've traveled with Hermione,
yeah.
And I know that there's weird
maybe
stuff happening.
Maybe Tulipa is a serial killer.
I've fallen through a ceiling with this horse.
Yeah, like, exactly.
A bond that can never be broken.
So, I think I'm going to... I'm going to pull out... Sorry, I'm just thinking about, like, the order of action. Is asking a question an action?
I'll give you that as a bonus action.
Okay. So what I would like to do is say, what the F is going on?
To which I will reply, I have no idea.
Well, and because what the F stands for what the fairy is going on. Yes.
Yeah. Right,
and the fairy
replies. Obviously. Yeah. So. Obviously.
She just attacked me out of nowhere.
Yep.
Shemshime, tell me to reply.
You are just singing the song. You are singing the words to the song very loudly.
Okay.
Perhaps not as in tune as you were doing before, Hermione. But with like extra emphasis,
extra gusto.
Yeah.
I'm super excited to sing.
Plus three gusto.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay, so do I notice this change in Hermione?
Yeah, I would say it seems like there's something off about her.
Okay. All right. So I think that since we've traveled enough together and I noticed this change in her...
Yeah. I think I'm going to say for you it would be obvious if... And, you know, this is a challenge. Lapis, you have been placed in a very difficult situation here where two of your friends, your traveling compatriots, are in a fight and it's unclear who is right or who is wrong or what is going on. But yeah, I will say that you have traveled with Hermione enough to know, to recognize that something is not right about Hermione's actions here.
Okay. All right. Okay. Given all of that.
Yep.
Oh, one more question. Sorry. I know this is taking forever, but I've got to. Gotta do.
It's a complicated.
I'm
in a hard situation.
There's no clear cut back, guys.
Before you murder Hermione, we want to get these
right.
Points.
Exactly.
Bye, Kathy.
Or me. Could go either way.
Kathy, I'm assuming that since you're a fighter, your attacks are strength based.
Yes.
Is that yeah?
This is just a question that friends ask each other.
Right, yeah.
In the middle of a fight, yes.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Okay.
No real reason. I get it.
Would you say your Achilles heel is your Achilles heel? Is which side did you have ACL replacement surgery on? Let me just take it a survey.
Just asking for a friend.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think what I'm going to do, given the situation, given that Hermione is acting strangely, and I saw her. Basically go after Tulipa, I am going to cast Ray of Enfeeblement on her.
Mm.
This is a concentration spell, so I can end it at any time. But what happens is basically like I point a finger at her. A black beam of energy springs from my finger. And Hermione, when you hit somebody with an attack that uses strength, you're going to deal half damage.
If you hit with your Ray of Enfeeblement.
Yes. Oh, heckin'.
Heckin'.
Heckin'. Oh, that didn't work at all.
Oh, dear.
What happened?
Okay. I rolled a 7. Well, I rolled a 1.
Okay.
I have plus 6, yeah.
You Ray of Enfeeblement, one of the books on the shelf next
to yeah, Hermione. Awesome.
It was not Shemshime's bedtime rhyme.
All right. So
great instinct is let us try and, you know, de-escalate this situation by enfeebling one of the powerful fighters. Sadly, you hit a book.
Yeah, all right. So after all of that, I'm going to use the rest of my movement speed to hopefully get out of Hermione's line of sight.
All right. You, having shot a magic spell at Hermione, run and duck back between the stacks, trying to avoid the wrath of a centaur.
Before I move, I want to yell, Hermione's acting weird, and then I want to run.
All right. Very, very complicated turn. Weirder than usual? Tulipa Floss, Lapis has yelled, Hermione is acting weird. This is not news to you. You are face to face with a centaur that seems intent on killing you.
No, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd figured out something was up. Okay.
So, I am not yet aware of how many people are acting weird, am I?
No, I don't think so.
Do you have another sleep left?
I do. And I theoretically also have Misty Step, which could remove myself from the immediate area. But the problem with that is it's an either or. And we don't yet know who is going to attack whom. So I'm going to assume that Lapis is not suddenly deranged and start by evaluating my options, because I don't want to hurt somebody who's not in control of themselves, but also stop hurting me.
Well, I mean, if you put her to sleep, she won't be able to hurt you anymore.
And then the question is who else is going to attack us?
Because we don't know if anyone
would you suspect? Yeah,
this is true. But
also, sleep
my gut
only
instinct
does
tells
certain...
me one person acting weird is going to lead to more people acting weird. Like we've already had Katala go a bit nuts.
Which is why I think sleep would be smart, because then that just like takes one person out of the equation.
Yeah, until they get damaged or similar. So yeah, I'm going to try casting Sleep, which is my final remaining spell slot aside from cantrips, on Hermione.
You can do it. Roll high.
Yep. So, do that. And was it 5d8?
I believe so.
Oh, that's 6. Let's try that again.
The total is how many hit points of creature this spell can affect. So the tricky thing here is you need to exceed Hermione's hit points.
Which are 36.
Okay. I did roll pretty well. I got 22, but that's not well enough.
So like basically you cast sleep on Hermione. Hermione, there's like you get a brief sense of drowsiness. You know, it's like, oh man, the day is kind of dragging, and then you pound an iced coffee and everything is great again.
All right.
So that happened.
Yep, that happened.
Do any of the librarians get caught in the, it doesn't hit Hermione, but it does send people asleep?
Would it have done that? I'm going to say, let's not worry about the librarians for this fight. What I'm going to say.
I believe I can still use a cantrip. Let me check actions to make sure.
If it's a bonus action, yep.
I unfortunately cannot. Okay. Oh. Darn it.
Okay.
Am I still able to move away?
If you move away, Hermione is going to probably
get
an attack of opportunity. But on the other hand, Hermione is a giant centaur and you are a fairy.
Small fairy that is on top of a bookcase.
On top of a bookcase. So, your ability to navigate Candlekeep, the Firefly Cellar of Candlekeep Library, is probably significantly higher than the centaur. No offense. I will even mention just a little bit of,
because you mentioned a balcony before.
Yeah, if you look at the map above, you can see that there's a balcony that looks down on this room. So, like from the center of the room, you could theoretically go straight up. The centaur could
that's what I'm thinking of doing.
Centaur.
Like,
yep.
I'm going to use my movement and go upwards.
All right,
rather
so you
than...
just run.
All right. Basically.
You go. Hermione, you get to roll attack of opportunity on Tulipa. That's not going to stop Tulipa from escaping unless it kills Tulipa. And Tulipa, you head up to the top floor.
So I rolled a 19,
which would hit, as previously established.
How many hit points you got, Tulipa?
17.
Okay. So
I would probably use my short sword.
All right, roll some damage.
Which is my excellent, because I'll be out of range. Hopefully.
Nine.
All right, so Tulipa. The centaur slices you for 9 damage. You are probably not feeling great.
Not feeling great, but I am out of range now.
Yeah,
so.
you are out
still
of range.
Alive.
You whiz up past the balcony to the top floor of the basement of the cellar. I don't know if I mentioned before, but when you came in, there's a lovely giant like book statue thing of like a book in flight kind of overlooking this balcony. But most importantly,
like
There's no centaurs up on the top level of the cellar.
Yeah. So can I like glance at this on my way up, like bleeding everywhere, and just check that the Shamshine book isn't like the flying book?
The Shamshine book. No, it's the idea of a book. It is not. It is certainly not. It's book classic. It is not a magic talking box book. So yeah.
Worth checking.
Yeah. No. Worth checking. What that is one more book shaped object you have ruled out in the cellar as being Shamshine's bedtime rhyme.
8,999.
Yep. Little Antony is next. Little Antony is at the top of the stairs with his druid life partner, Polly. And Little Antony is looking for blood.
He is starting to froth as he kind of like turns into his like old Quasit self, kind of like the way he was when we first met him. And so he has a attack speed of 40. Or a range of 40. So
wow, he's a fast little guy.
Yeah, he's pretty fast. So he's unfortunately going to go for Lapis. And let's see. He is just going to use his claws because he's kind of like crazed. And he has piercing damage, and the target must succeed on a DC 10 constitution saving throw or take poison damage and such. So I think he just attacks, right?
I think so.
And then so Lapis needs to roll.
I think he has to roll an attack. So roll a d20.
Okay. To see if he hits. See here.
Yeah, let's see if he hits. Claws. Claws
13.
13 plus 4 to hit is his claw attack.
Okay, yeah. Yep. So there we go.
17.
That hits. It looks like he does 1d4 plus 3 piercing damage.
He takes 2d4 poison damage, and you become poisoned for 1 minute.
I'm reading. I don't know what I sent you.
I just have the Quasit sheet, but I might be reading it wrong. I think you're probably not
used to reading monsters sheets.
No, not.
I am. So okay. He has a claw attack. So he rolled plus 4 to hit. He hit. On a hit, you do 1d4 plus 3 piercing damage.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. That's how monsters are formatted. So,
And then what's it say after here? The target must succeed in a DC 10?
That means that Lapis must succeed on a DC 10 constitution saving throw or take more poison damage.
Okay.
So first, you scratch Lapis for roll a d4 and add 3 piercing damage.
Okay. So I did hit.
Yeah, you hit. Right? 17. Is that we established that Lapis, right? Yep. Question mark.
Cool. Oh, I got a 4.
So that's 7 piercing damage, Lapis. You get a good side scratch from Little Antony. And now you got to do a constitution saving throw because Little Antony does not wash his hands.
he's a dirty boy.
I got a 14.
All right,
you're fine.
Yeah. You're not poisoned.
I helped save you from that pocket dimension.
Aline, I feel
this is really rude.
The experience of being attacked by Little Antony is not dissimilar than your everyday life with cats.
No, like that's accurate.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
Who owe all of their existence to you.
I got scratched this morning. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably less expensive to feed Little Antony though, honestly. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He eats a lot of meatball subs.
Little Antony? Yeah, I was going to say only wet food for Little Antony. You know?
Yeah, he's kind of a snob about that.
Yep. Also, I think it's hard to get meatball subs in the D&T setting. Polly, you're next.
No, we got a source upstairs.
Quasits find a way.
Yeah. Polly, I think you're next. I think that Shamshine knows that... let's have you focus on Lapis. So maybe you're going to follow Little Antony down the hall and do some kind of attack on Lapis. But
I'm not as fast as Little Antony.
Yeah.
I can't get to
legs.
Lapis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a ranged attack that maybe you could do on Lapis, though? Because you're a druid?
I am going to move a little bit forward. So like half forward.
Yep.
Because I guess I have to do something,
you have
right?
to do this. This is, okay. Yeah.
okay. One question. Mm. Isn't the little girl supposed to be looking for the book?
Yeah. I mean, it was unclear how effective that was, but, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she got distracted pretty quickly, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Fine. All right, so I have darts then, and I guess I'm going to use my darts.
Yeah, dart so, a cat. Got it.
Let's see. that is 11.
No.
All right. A dart whizzes out from Polly and hits the bookcase behind your head, Lapis.
He spits on the floor.
Is that was Shemshime though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
That wasn't Polly at all.
No.
It was totally Polly.
Frittata, you are in the book bindery when the sounds of chaos and battle ring out from the main reading room of the of Firefly Cellar.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so when I came in here, now that I know what the book-ish thing looks mm-hmm. like, did I see it before any of this stuff happened behind me?
You did not, and I think also you had pretty thoroughly, or Hermione had pretty thoroughly searched this room before. So, but even with knowing, there's not a lot of books in the bindery, and I think all the ones in there are accounted for. So we'll say that you successfully searched the bindery before this happened. So behind you, a fight.
15, 20, 25, 30. Okay, so I hear something's happening. So this is as far as I can get by just moving twice. Being like, what? Polly? What's happening?
Yeah, you see Polly holding darts. and, you know, could just be afternoon lawn darts, certainly.
And, you know, if I see my friends, I probably see that Tulipa and Lapis have both been injured.
Yeah.
I think this is the thing that finally sends me over the edge, and I start raging as a bonus action.
Okay.
Yep. I am not happy. Why?
Causes grief, avoids the blame, Shemshon.
Thank you, Polly. Hermione, we are back around to the top to you. I think Tulipa has kind of evaded you, but a Goliath has entered the main reading room.
And shouted.
All right. So for Tulipa, though, can I see her?
I think Tulipa is probably out of range.
Okay.
Rosemary, you probably wanted to get somewhere that you could not be seen, right?
Yeah. I'm on the balcony. If you know that you're looking up and looking for me, you might see me because I'm like on the edge of the balcony so I can see things. But I'm pretty small and there's a fight going on. And
okay. Yeah.
All right, so not a crossbow bolt.
Yeah, I don't think you have a good... You'd be very hard to hit her with a crossbow bolt from where you are and where she is.
Yeah, I'm above you and back from the edge of the bookcase.
And there's a balcony railing there. It's, you know, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Whereas there is a barbarian just standing there between the bookshelves.
Perfect. Okay. Math is hard, but 20 plus 20 is 40, so I can go here. And then here, and I'm going to attack.
All right, you charge, Frittata.
Yes.
Oh, actually, I forgot how rage works. I can't do that on a turn that I didn't attack. So,
okay.
Pretend I'm not raging.
You're simmering. Yeah.
You're just angry.
You're simmering.
You're about to rage.
Pre-raging.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You got to preheat the oven. but you have not boiled over.
Wait, hang on. Help me out with this, because this is the first barbarian that I've played. It says, your rage ends early if you're knocked unconscious, or if your turn ends and you haven't attacked a hostile creature since your last turn. So if I raged, would it just automatically expire at the end of that turn, or do I have until the end of the next turn?
I think you have until the next turn.
Okay, well then we'll say that I am raging then.
Okay.
Right, ignore all that.
Okay.
Well, Frittata, you're angry. I don't know if you know what you're angry at, but a centaur has attacked you. And so I guess you could add that to the list of grievances. Hermione, like, what kind of attack are you doing?
I am attacking with my short sword, and I rolled a 20. 20 plus mathing. It's not a nat 20.
Okay.
Math 20, as we call it. Yes.
Yes, a math 20.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that hits.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just asking for, you know, I don't know. We've bonded a little bit, but we just got to make sure. So 7 damage.
All right. I am raging, so I only take half of that.
All right. And then I'm going to use my whip as well. Oh, but I only rolled a 2. So
that definitely does not hit.
All right. Hermione, all set?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lapis, you are over down the hallway from this part of the fight. A horrible little monster that you know has just scratched you.
That you know and love.
Well, no.
No, I love him.
Just sometimes you don't like him. Mm.
It's just sharp and pointy and demanding and
stinky,
messy, and basically a cat. What does inflict wounds do?
It hurts.
It sounds necrotic pretty descriptive.
Damage. Necrotic damage. Okay. I don't want to hurt him.
Quick question, Tony. If little Antony gets no hit points, is he knocked unconscious like the rest of us?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Good question.
Mm-hmm. I think unless the creature... certainly, in general, when you are fighting anybody and you reduce them to zero hit points, you can kind of decide whether that is a killing blow or not. So I would say that is harder to do with a thing like a fireball versus any other kind of melee attack. So you can always choose to knock an opponent down instead of murdering them.
We just like to murder instead.
Well, it's then because then later you're gonna have to go around and like finish everybody off. It's just we skip past that, like the 15 minutes of like, you know, please don't murder me, and it's like, well, I'm the hero and you're really bad, so
we skip past the pleading. It's
yeah.
Fine.
So
password A.
Yeah. So Lapis.
All right, I think. I don't know how this is gonna work exactly.
Yeah, I love it.
Same.
Yeah, I like it already.
But I am going to use my claws. In retaliation.
That makes sense.
Claw versus claw.
You've been clawed.
Claw you.
Claws against little Antony here. Question. I have two weapon fighting. Since I have technically four sets of claws, do I get to use my claws twice?
I'll allow it. Somebody's going to write in and ask about light weapons and things like that, but this is what we're doing today, people.
I feel like claws are the lightest of weapons, really.
Yeah. Like one of those cat hugs.
And that is what I'll reply to them with.
All right, so first attack is a 15.
I'm pretty sure that hits little Antony. Tiff?
Yeah, it does. Just not so much, but yeah, it does.
Second is a 1. I do 0 damage because...
What?
Because it is 1d4 minus 1 damage.
And you
and
rolled a 1.
1.
So you just like swatted little Antony.
I swatted, which is basically what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Congratulations.
Well, he's also resistant to slashing and piercing.
Oh, he is?
It says damage resistances, cold, fire, lightning, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks.
Your hands are not magical, so.
Says you.
All right. Well, this was incredibly ineffective.
I got like my warning, my shot across the bow, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But like you're in now.
Yeah. So I think that's basically my turn.
All right.
I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to hit anybody with magic. Like, I don't want to use a spell slot on anybody.
But
I like
also
how you went down from like, I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to waste any resources on them.
Right. Like, yeah. These are both true things.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, no, I got it. Little Annie's not worth it.
rude.
But valid.
Mm. All right.
Tony.
Yeah. We're friends.
So that's my turn.
All right. To Leap of Loss, you escaped to the top floor of Firefly Cellar. You're just over the balcony there. Yep. I would say, unfortunately, with where the fight has moved back into the stacks, you do not have a good view of anything up there from the balcony, but you are certainly extremely safe.
I'm very safe.
Very safe.
Would you say that I'm within 60 feet of Hermione?
Math is hard.
It's difficult to tell with the height.
I would say you're within 40 feet of Hermione, so which is smaller than 60.
Yes, excellent.
Math.
Because I don't, like, there's no aiming involved in a mind sliver, and I don't like hurting people who are mm-hmm. supposed to be on my side. But it is supposed to be disorientating, disorienting. Which seems like it might be a useful thing to do. So I am going to try to cast Mind Sliver on Hermione.
You drive a disorienting spike of psychic energy into the mind of one creature you can see within range.
Yep. And, you know, I'm lying on the floor because I'm pretty injured, so,
yep.
You know.
All right. Is this a spell attack or does Hermione do a saving throw? How does this one work?
This is a cantrip spell attack. Not particularly specified. It just says casting time. Cost at will, 1d6 of damage. Attack saving, intelligence 13.
Okay.
Well, you're in luck because I'm not very smart.
It kind of unfortunately goes with the fighter territory.
It's true.
You might be lucky.
So make an intelligence saving throw, Hermione.
I got 9.
That is lower than 13. What happens?
That is.
I throw a d6 to see how much damage this does. 5.
Five psychic damage.
Yes. And you subtract 1d4 from the next saving throw that you would make before the end of my turn. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that is the end of my turn because I do not have limitless actions.
Now, I will tell you, as that mind sliver hits you, Hermione, you know, there's just something like maybe Shemshime's grip just kind of like flickers a little bit. I'm not going to tell you the DC, but give me a quick charisma save to try and break out of Shemshime's thrall.
I was hoping psychic would be good for this. It's like it's the least damaging one I can do.
I got a 19.
You feel like you are momentarily like have your faculties back and know what's going on.
Ooh. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Do I notice that?
I don't know if you do notice that.
Okay. Is Hermione able to say anything during this time?
I think no, because it's not Hermione's turn.
Not my turn.
Yep. All right. Tulip, anything else? You're going to stay up there on the balcony where you're safe?
I'm going to stay up here on the balcony. I can't heal myself, so I'm just kind of going to lie low and hope for the best.
Okay, there is
can you look around
fairy
a little
blood
bit
everywhere.
Yeah, see, there's fairy blood there's everywhere. I'm like scanning books to see if anything looks suspiciously large and
you
shiny.
Things are large and shiny, but you then realize that you're basically in the like, it's all coffee table books where you are. So, yeah.
Great.
A lot of things with like, you know, like landscapes of Faerun and yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. Maybe you always wanted to see some of these places before you died, so it's convenient.
Excellent. It was definitely worth, you know, coming down here. Wonderful.
All right. Little Annie, you are next. You are claw to claw with Lapis.
So Little Annie is going to turn into a bat.
Oh.
And fly up.
I forgot that Little Annie can do that.
The top balcony with Tulipa.
Okay.
That's very inconvenient.
He's like very disoriented. He's just things are happening. He turned into a bat
and just got swatted.
He flew up there, but that's his action. So
do you want you might have enough to attack. Oh wait, so what is shape changing?
Shape changing is the action.
Okay, so you don't have any actions left to bite Tulipa, but maybe next round. Yeah. All right.
I only have 8 hit points left, so I really hope he's a very small bat right now.
He's an appropriate size bat, but
he's a closet size bat.
But the bat
he's
is
a little
small.
Antony size bat.
But the bat is small. You know, little Andy is a tiny creature, but big personality.
so. It's true. Yeah, I'm not liking the sound of the fangs involved here.
Polly, you are in the same, well, you've got all kinds of creatures in your area. You know, I think Shemshime's going to kind of let it up to you. Do you want to attack a Hermione or a Lapis or a Frittata? How do you feel?
So I can just also attack Hermione, even though she, yeah, because I guess it doesn't matter what team you're on. You're just like... Mm.
I did just yell at you and call
right.
your name.
Yeah, I think because I'm kind of nuts, I'm going to take on Frittata.
All right. You got some kind of druid attack that you want to do on Frittata?
Druid attack. Well, I don't think I can mold earth here.
No, it's mainly...
Because it's
back,
loose
get
earth.
Back to me when you have mold books.
Yeah.
No, and don't also, make the books moldy.
Oh.
Well, no, but if you can like turn a book into the Shemshine book, that would be really, really useful.
Would it? Then there'd be two.
yeah. I do have curse. A cantrip called Shillelagh.
Oh, yeah. That
nice.
That turns your walking stick into like a big magic club.
Right. And so my strength, it's instead of using strength for the attack, the damage roll is with the weapon is my magic instead. Use your spellcasting ability instead of strength.
Mm-hmm. So you're basically going to turn your little druid staff into a giant magic club and assault a giant Goliath.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let's do that.
Okay. roll some attacks.
Polly moved forward.
Yeah.
God. He knows that this is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But he can't help himself. 10 plus, where's my magic modifier? 3, so 13. That's like
that
my spell attack, right?
Does not hit.
All right.
Oh, thank God.
Frittata, you are in an interesting situation here. You've got Polly and Hermione have kind of converged on you. Now, Hermione, I think we all know that Hermione has kind of like shaken something off. I don't know if Frittata knows that. And you are raging, which I feel like might impede your ability to know that.
Yep.
Do you want to roll something and we'll see if the dice, like if you roll real high,
sure.
Will the dice will, you'll, maybe you know something catches your eye, but I don't think it is. You rolled a 2?
2.
All right.
Two.
Yeah. Nothing catches
excellent.
Your eye.
Excellent. This
so
is going well.
You have a tiny, or
but...
not tiny, smallish druid and a centaurish centaur attacking you. How do you want to deal with this?
Well, I was sort of headed toward Polly to start with, so I feel like in my rage, I'm not going to change, like, I'm not going to change targets.
You want to start with me?
And also, yeah, you started.
Are you starting something with me?
You want to go outside? You want to take this outside? We can't, because we're locked in here, but...
We can't go outside.
I'm just going to punch... Polly in the face. Oh, no, I'm going to do a slap across the face. Like, snap out of it!
Snap out of it!
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to die.
I feel like now is an excellent moment for the quote from the Aristocats of, ladies don't start fights, but they can finish them.
I did not roll very well, and I don't think I have inspiration... Sadly not.
I am not telling you to use inspiration.
You want inspiration?
Yeah.
I do. But I never do anything that's good enough to get inspiration, so I have none. So I rolled let's see, what is an unarmed strike is plus 5, so that's a 9.
Doesn't hit.
Okay.
All right. And that, you can't do two weapon fighting when you're not using a weapon, I guess?
I don't think so. I don't know. We let Lapis claw twice, but I don't know how it works with
I mean,
fists.
Claws could be weapons.
Yeah.
Well, rage is a weapon,
two,
though.
you're two-handed fighting, which means you have two hands.
It seems very weird that you, just because I'm not holding a weapon, I can't slap with two hands.
Roll another attack. I think there's specific rules about like what things you have to be holding, and I guess the special training that you got for using two weapons that doesn't apply to hands. But
I don't think it's going to matter. I got an 11.
So you are just like pounding the ground, and Polly is like, oh no, Polly was ducking and weaving until you weaved and you should have ducked.
Yeah, that's my armor class.
How much damage do you do?
That just does a straight 6 points of damage, and it's subdual damage, like it's non-lethal.
Straight six.
Yep. All right.
Snap out of it, Polly. What the hell?
Good news,
the hell, you?
Polly, there's good news. The good news is you get to roll a charisma saving throw against possibly Shemsam's control.
Great.
I could have done a headbutt, but I decided that would be...
I think ergonomically that might be challenging.
Yeah, because
that's really
so
far down that you gotta get
and
that
then you
head.
Gotta go all the way back up again.
Unless you pick Polly up and have that way.
All right, Polly, you get hit in the face, but you suddenly feel like you're perhaps in control of your faculties again. The question: will Furtata realize this before she murders all of you?
I mean, can I say something since I was just like hit attacked?
You will on your turn. It'll be okay.
No, fine.
I'm going to say at the end of the initiative order, basically the librarians kind of panic and just disperse into to the stacks. It's unclear where they are. I'm just going to move their tokens off the map for now. All right. Hermione, you are next. Congratulations. Your turn is your own. Enjoy it.
Hooray! I am going to shout, whoa! I didn't mean to do that. I feel possessed. And not attack, clearly.
Okay.
Because that would be wrong.
Do you want to attack Polly as a sign of alliance with Furtata?
I'm wondering if, as someone who recently like passed out of control of Shemsheim, if I would recognize the flash of light, even though it looks like Polly's hat kind of covers his eyes. Mm. I don't know if I'd be able to like how.
Give me a quick perception check.
Okay.
I feel like it would be insight, right?
Yeah, we're insight.
Okay, I rolled a 16.
You notice that Polly seems to have kind of gone, like his movements are no longer the kind of strange, herky jerky puppet like movements that you and he were experiencing moments ago. So you suspect that you are both free of whatever condition was controlling you.
Who you calling jerky?
Oh, it looks like Polly's feeling better too.
That is classic thing that possessed people would say to other people. Lapis, you're next.
Okay. I guess I'm like. So you're good now? Like, what?
You're addressing Polly or Hermione
the
or both of them?
The room in general?
The room.
A little help here, please.
Yeah, like, we're good? Like, everything's... You're not gonna... With the sword and the whip anymore? We're okay?
Can I answer?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I think so. I feel in control of my facilities.
Classic faculties? Possess. All of the above.
Nobody who's possessed says facilities.
Yeah. The lesson here is, group, that you need to have a special keyword to use so that you know in case somebody's possessed or like a cloning situation or doppelgangers, like you should have had like a secret word ready to go. So
not Shimshime.
Not Shimshime. Yeah. No. No.
It will be for the future. That'll be
that might
word.
Be confusing. All right, let me jump to Tulipa Floss. You are up above. You know, I think Little Anthony
the Bat is how's still, he doing?
I think now that Polly is no longer fighting for Team Shimshime, Little Anthony just looks kind of confused. Except he looks like a bat that's confused.
A confused bat.
A confused
little bat. Bat-ny.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you.
So this leaves us with nobody who appears to actually be possessed.
Does not look like there's anyone who appears to actually be possessed.
Okay. I'm just having a quick look at my spells, see if there's anything useful that I can do for just finding something. And D&D Beyond is completely and utterly stuck. There we go. There's nothing particularly helpful I can do. So I guess what I'm going to do is not harm myself further. And can I eat a snack? Is that going to help? Or not help?
Can't hurt, blood sugar wise.
Yep. You know, there's not a lot of blood left, but let's put some sugar in it.
Yeah, you pull out a little fairy granola bar and.
Yeah. Do you have any good berries? Because that would help.
Sadly, I do not. My inventory is I have bird pipes. Rations, rope. I have a mess kit, so I guess I'll use that to try and clean myself up a little bit.
All right,
but.
Little Antony and Polly, you are next. You are no longer under Shemshime's thrall. So it's kind of that awkward moment where you're all standing in the same room with people you just tried to murder that you no longer want to murder.
Great. I hate when that happens. I mean,
it's like
really,
a family get-together.
So... Yeah. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. yep.
So I think we really need to find that book you got.
You might also want to disengage and back away from the angry barbarian.
Yeah, I back away.
Good choice.
And I'm rubbing my jaw.
All right. Speaking of our angry barbarians, Furtata, you're at the end of the order.
Okay. Well, everybody has spoken. Mm-hmm. As themselves, and nobody has attacked me in this last turn. Mm-hmm. So I am going to drop out of my rage and just be like, okay, what's happening? Wait, no, I have a question. So my question is for Polly and Hermione, something weird was going on with you. When that was happening, did you feel any particular pull in any physical direction?
Good question, Tony, did I?
No, I mean, you kind of had the feeling of like being controlled against your will. I don't think, you know, I would say up, like you were a puppet on marionette strings, but, you know, not in a direction in within relative to Firefly Cellar.
Okay, good question.
Mm-hmm. Polly wants to respond to that by stepping forward again and punching Furtata in the shin, just a little bit.
All right.
This is like,
does Polly do that, or does Polly just want to do that?
Yeah. No, Polly does it.
All right, roll an attack.
Oh no!
This nothing bad will happen from this.
11.
Okay.
Yeah. I Furtata just pats Polly on the head.
All right.
This is our thing. It's fine.
I'm going to suggest that you regroup here in the middle of the reading room. Take a minute to catch your breath. You know,
I get a feeling someone wants us to regroup in the middle of the room.
Some people are badly hurt, and I don't know if you have the ability to do healing.
I used my healing earlier, unfortunately, on Epiter.
Yeah. Lapis is a cleric, right?
Question I can mark? Heal.
I can't heal.
You can't. Oh.
Not that kind of cleric.
I have healing spells.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Polly is
I am down to 8 out of 22, so
I'm
I feel like
I'm not sorry.
Like you weren't in control. So
a creature of I can only pick one person, right? To heal.
I think
it just says a creature of your choice.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's see how many second level spell slots I have. So are you badly damaged? Yes, you need extra.
Well, I have 8 out of 22 hit points. Depending on how well we do, like, I may not need any further healing, but if this happens again, then, like, one swipe from Hermione and I'm dead.
All right, so I'm going to give you I could increases by 1d4. So I could give you 2d4 or 1d4. So I'll give you 2. I'll do a second level spell slot.
That sounds smart. Like a good idea.
Also, then I recommend Tulipa maybe stay up on the balcony after this.
Yeah, like just
a wild balcony attack. Yeah.
Didn't ask.
Also, we have some more. Search the balcony.
I mean, there are coffee table books up there. Mm. So, like, I'll go up there and do some Arcana checks and stuff. Mm. But
You got 6 points of healing damage.
Thank you.
Healing damage.
Wait, healing damage.
I healed
you so well. It hurts.
I mean, for this, like, 14 out of 22 is above 50%. I'll take it.
Mm. So as you take a couple minutes to catch your breath, do some healing, clean yourselves up, and just kind of survey. The main reading room is kind of not in great shape now that there has been a fight here and there's just books everywhere. I imagine there's still kind of like paper slowly raining down from the sky from things.
Oh yeah,
that
I was knocking books off the shelves before the fight started.
Yeah, so this room is just kind of trashed. When you notice, kind of standing at the top of the steps leading down to the sleeping quarters, is the figure of Gilby, Ebder's granddaughter. She's standing there looking kind of shell-shocked, just big wide eyes.
Did you see another skeleton?
Well, she does not reply, Polly. She's just kind of looking at you, kind of shaking. She is holding a large square book.
Is this a shiny
she
book?
Is also, yes, a large square book that even from a distance looks shiny, though it does look like the corner of it is spattered with blood, and there's just a good amount of blood down the front of Gilby's face and clothes.
Oh no, dear.
Let me show you what the book looks like.
Okay. Like, how much therapy are we going to be needing to budget for here?
All the therapy.
Who did the book eat, honey?
So it looks more like perhaps Gilby used the book to hurt somebody.
Yeah, I'm going to be heading. I'm going to, as soon as I can, I'm heading straight for her. But,
yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What has Gilby done with this book? How many hours of therapy will be required to undo it? Will finding the book unlock the secret of Shemsheim or just unlock more pain and suffering? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next time to Total Party Kill.